Before the existence of written records, humans systematized combat. From prehistory and into the modern day, martial arts have been a part of the fabric of culture and civilization. Whether as a means of self-protection, or to wage war, or to compete, or to preserve a tradition, or to trudge personal greatness, these codified methods push us to ask questions, to explore, to express, to test, and to tell stories. This is Jamie Club's podcast, the official podcast of Club Chimera Martial Art, where we take the path of the vagabond warrior to find knowledge and inspiration from people, events, and ideas. If you are interested in where to follow Jamie Club and Club Chimera products and services, please wait until the end of the show. In the meantime, if you think this product is worth the price of a cup of coffee, please click on Support the Show in this episode's show notes.
Right. Hi, Mary. How's it going?
Yeah, it's good. Thank you. Yes.
Good. Anyone have thought that we'd been recording this already and gone for a second take?
I know. Imagine that. Yes. Surely not the professionals that we are.
Okay. So a really different show, mainly based on the fact that this is probably the first time I've done a recorded interview for CCMA. On YouTube, where it's not somebody else interviewing me, but I just wanted to do this as a discussion about what's on your t-shirt and what's on my t-shirt at the moment. Okay, right, so that's the cringe awkwardness out the way. Animal instincts,
cringe awkwardness to come, because we have to tell people about the program. So
indeed, yes, animal instincts, our children's self-protection teaching program. So I just thought that it would be great to record something where we could talk about how it all began, a collaborative effort that has been from day one. So my recollections of the earliest stages of this was when you first booked me to teach some private lessons on pad work, of all things, focus mitt work, which seems quite strange considering I do a lot less focus mitt work these days. But yes, that's how it began. And then you started asking more and more questions about involving children's self-protection in some of your regular classes.
Yeah, absolutely. What a session that was. The surreality of being in the middle of trying to do a pad work combination and watching a kangaroo jump past your head was quite something. I was like, have I been on drugs? What's happened? I didn't realise I was training in a zoo. So, yeah, yes. I'll never forget that. So obviously I teach children's karate as my main thing. And part of the reason that I came to you in the first place was that discrepancy that I had sensed between the way a lot of karate is being taught and what is practical self-defense. And that opened up a whole world of, you know, awareness, avoidance, soft skills and all of that stuff that over the last 5 years I've studied quite extensively. A lot of following up a lot of leads that and so on that you have indicated as well. And we've had a lot of discussion around it. And I think we share a frustration that children are not being adequately prepared for the dangers that they face at the time, never mind in a mythical future. But, you know, there's a lot that you can teach your 5-year-old or your 10-year-old that will be of use to them today, now, pick up and take away. So, and that's something that's annoyed you a lot, I think, over the years.
Oh, certainly has. Yeah, it's this frustration. Again, you find it within the martial arts world, the self-protection world, the so-called reality-based self-defense world, shall we say, and also the greater mainstream world, and also the education system as well, which is another area that we're going to be touching upon probably in future discussions. But having said that, I think it's very important to bring in here that your background as a teacher. And how that has a bearing on teaching children self-protection.
Yeah, I think perhaps in terms of how we manage the content and that kind of thing, that is something that is relevant. And I guess having a knowledge of the education system itself is useful.
Yeah, definitely. Certainly in terms of what works, but also in terms of what isn't working. So, you know, what works in terms of teaching, definitely. I feel that there's a huge input that you bring to this course. But at the same time, what we've both witnessed as being problems within the school dynamic that I don't think a lot of people are aware of, you know, these are persistent, well, at least solutions they're not aware of anyway. But then again, which we've both witnessed, me as a parent and also as a teacher of children in self-protection, but you obviously being in there in the field, so to speak, often 5 days a week working as a regular teacher.
Yeah, I think you know, especially what you're alluding to there is the way that schools seem to operate, as Ian says, like the Vatican, like they've got their own separate, you know, internal set of laws, yeah, which bear no relation to the laws that are outside on, you know, yeah, assault and the right to preemptive self-defense and that kind of thing. And we can understand how that's evolved. But it can lead to very misleading advice being given to children and to children getting, putting up with a lot of physical and verbal abuse, which is very bad for them psychologically, and not knowing what legal avenues there are for them to set their own boundaries, which is really important. Yes.
Definitely, definitely. Again, you know, when I wrote my book, When Parents Aren't Around, there's a good reason why I chose it as a title. It was all about putting children in charge, for as far as I'm concerned, from a core point. It's all about giving agency. One of the things that you definitely brought in to the course was actively having more tasks that on the surface don't look like self-protection skills, things like having a child purchase an item or getting public transport tickets or things like that. You know, I think they were really, you know, really, really important areas that you made sure were put in as part of the Animal Instincts program.
Incredibly important to help children build their skills of independence. Is empowering, and empowered, independent children are much harder targets because, you know, they have the confidence to deal with the world around them and they're not, you know, looking lost, and they have the ability to take the initiative. And that's true self-protection, isn't it? That's personal safety. And having the, you know, the confidence to look around them and be you know, on top of whatever the situation is.
Yeah. Again, I think one of the big points of self-protection teaching is the fact that we develop realistic behaviours. And the best way to develop realistic behaviours is to make them part of everyday behaviours. And again, a lot of that then ends up highlighting how so much actually is self-protection. So much is personal security. I mean, this is what's happening, which again, I've jumped ahead and all over the place, as inevitably the way that we do things, Mary. I promise the course is a lot more orderly. But for the sake of this discussion here and talking about the origins and talking about these different tasks, what I'm thinking about at the moment is this badge system which you brought in. I mean, I remember you came to me midway within the first year when we were doing the lessons or something, or within the first, I don't know, I forget which point it was, but where, again, we're having these discussions, we're training, and then we're just having these discussions, these teacher consultation discussions, and then and you were talking about developing a badge system.
Yeah. I think that's right. So what we know to be true is that when you codify something and like present it as a series of tasks that can be ticked off, then you're much more likely to get like reliable coverage of those skills. So I think children's self-protection is really important and shouldn't be left to chance. So in a martial arts session, yes, we can do absolutely lots of, we do scenario training with children all the time. And we're not talking about the kind of scenario training where, you know, we're doing, you know, taking them to a nightclub and putting them in like red man suits and jumping on top of them. we're talking about getting a child to go and speak to a parent that they don't know and say, excuse me, can you help me? I've lost my mum. This is her number kind of thing, you know, our lock protocol. So if making it formulaic and reward-based is a much more helpful way for a teacher to be able to operate on it, and so that it's kind of goal-driven, that can be much more effective. And, you know, effective is what we want. Yes, we really want this to be an effective and practical program. And I think it's really important that, like, the first level is Meerkat. We're really trying to train those awareness skills early on because they're so basic and so crucial. And then in terms of rabbit, I remember our discussions around that because, you know, you get that kind of rabbit in the headlights thing. It's not necessarily positive connotations, but, you know, rabbits are incredibly agile. They're incredible survivors. And they're really, really good at avoiding trouble. So that's a particularly good animal to represent that level. And then a bear, that was an interesting one. So that's a sort of a throwback to your bear podcast, which The Way of the Bear, which is a really, everybody should go and listen to it. A really good, like when we're thinking about what skills we're looking for in that particular level and that owning of responsibility and space that is such an important part of teenage development. Probably my favorite age group to work with are teenagers, as they have that developing sense of agency and identity. And that's really key in the bear level. And then Chimera, of course, where you have all of the skills, and that's the leadership level.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, and again, it's important. Again, so Meerkat, 4 to 7 year olds, rabbit, 7 to 11, bear is 11 to 16, and then Chimera is 16 plus. So it's and it's important to know that again, these are ongoing courses. They can be taught as either bolt-on lessons to an existing martial arts club. So it's a separate service that a club can offer, or it can be something that an individual instructor might want to offer a school, like an after-school club. And again, the badging system immediately it's proven to be effective. We think of things in the UK where we have like the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme. Universally, there's systems in place like Girl Guides, Boy Scouts, things like that, where badges make sense. It's not like a belt ranking system as such. Because people can come in at any level, you know, depends on your age group, you'll be working towards the particular badge. As I said, yeah, I feel like it's very much, again, it's its own service. It allows teachers to separate self-protection from martial arts training or from sports training, from traditional training. Even if you've got a traditional martial art, which is self-defense, self-protection based, this is a distilled, focused series of lessons and courses that you can provide without having to be connected to anything else. Just entirely focused on their personal security with relevant physical skills.
Yeah. And for people that want to know a little bit more about the kind of vibe of it, we released a couple of free ebooks. Well, yes. Temporarily free. They will actually have a price on them quite soon. The ebooks are there for people who are interested in what we're doing. And that means that people then get joined up to a mailing list about the release of the actual programs, which is coming quite soon now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's pretty exciting times. And again, this is the very first time I have ever created any form of teaching qualification. I've never awarded a teaching qualification, so it's great to be working with you to be able to deliver that. The British Combat Association, the World Combat Association, has agreed to endorse it as well. So it'll be being run through them too. It has that stamp of approval, which is really, really important. I feel it's an opportunity to be as thorough with children's self-protection as possible. I mean, my ideal is that when people book me for a When Parents Aren't Around seminar, for example, I do up to 10 hours of teaching with that. This allows us to go much deeper. Not that self-protection shouldn't be taught in short within a short, concise course. I still defend that point. But this is an opportunity for parents and teachers to work together on a regular basis, ticking off, again, all these things, confirming that these behaviours are being done. It's not just a delivery of the knowledge, is it? It's just a constant ongoing plan to show that, a child might get it in the first week and then forget it all in the next week. This is to ensure that this information is being absorbed. And most importantly, it's being applied out in the field. I mean, I think that's what's so important about the fact that we're using the record books, that all of that is all part of it, that we're working closely with the parents, and we're going to be teaching teachers how to deliver this. Again, this is the important thing, is about teaching teachers as well. It's not just about, well, this is our content, you know, do what you want. After we've done the video courses, the online video courses that we're going to be delivering, there'll be face-to-face training where there'll be plenty more going into how to properly teach these skills to children, so that people are being taught to be teachers and to taught to be children's self-protection teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the soft skills that can be basically picked up and taught into most contexts, we're aware that some part of the program that might be just as far as people want to take it. They get their certificate for the like meerkat soft skills delivery or the rabbit soft skills delivery, and that's fine for their brownie group or whatever. But those that want to really like get themselves a children's self-protection qualification as an instructor, well, then, you know, they'll have all the certificates from the four courses, and that will qualify them to come to the physical skills, which will be done as an in-person course, because, you know, we want to cross hands with people and make sure that they're delivering the range of skills in the most effective way possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, again, maintaining quality is going to be really, really important. The standards are going to be high. There's criteria that people are going to need to have after they do the video course. The video course is open to anybody. I mean, that's what's really important. We want to get that information out there, which will be delivering the bulk of the soft skills training that'll be required, as you just said, over the four courses. And it's great. Again, somebody just does those. Again, there'll be online quizzes to pass in order to get those particular qualifications. If those individuals just want to stop there, then that's great. Even if they don't pass the actual courses, the point is that we're actually getting that information out there. That's what's important to us. But then people want to pursue it further, they can move into being able to become a full teacher in this particular Animal Instincts program, and they'll be able to deliver the Animal Instincts program and award the badges to these different age groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, in that the it's a kind of a limitless, really. We'll see how that's going, but you know, we've got lots of ideas as to how we can develop this and help to keep people up to date as well with the most relevant information, because obviously the world of children's safety is changing all the time. I had instance this week where a year five student was very nervous because his friend has bought a replica gun that he was planning to bring into school. And you'd think that replica guns are supposed to look like toy guns, but we looked this up together and we looked at it, and we realized that if you were a teacher and a child pulled that gun out in that class, you would be very alarmed. There are all sorts of, you know, ins and outs as to, you know, they're supposed to be colored and they're supposed to be this, that and the other, but somebody's obviously got around that and it's freely available. And you just think, well, this is the kind of the world that our children are living in is not the same world that you and I grew up in. And no. So for me, one of the most important feeders for our course is the information that we're constantly getting with the things that my children in my school bring to class and we workshop together, because they'll often bring in a you know, this happened at school, how should we deal with it? And then we all workshop it together. And of course, they're the ones that know about the cyber risks. They know which games are the most dangerous ones to interact with. They know far better than we do what is being said and done in the playground. Yeah. We have the broader experience to then put that into context and give them some solid advice on that, and to develop things that will deal with that. So it's in lots of ways, it's part of the content is driven by the children.
Definitely.
Them identifying what their needs are.
Yeah, and in that respect, I mean, again, I think a really, really big point about the approach that we take with teaching is about giving children agency. Only are we learning from the children and within the lessons. And again, we'll be promoting that through the teaching that we do on this course. We're going to be encouraging creating situations where you can bring it to the classroom, where a person on this course will be able to bring it to their classroom to make a more open forum. How do you organize and run and guide discussion groups, which will have immediate impact, immediately relevant? It's actually happening now, just as you described that. So they'll be opening up their own ways to do that. But also how we create various, how that then extends into other activities, everything right down to the physical side of things, in line with ecological dynamics, in line with various open forum methods of teaching, that will be very much the core of our training. So it keeps it up to date. So it maintains it up to date. So our future proofing isn't just going to be a simple case of, well, this is the most up to date information we know today. It'll be future proofing. It'll be saying, well, this is how you change. This is how you can move forward and you can develop courses yourself. So I could say giving agency to the teachers, and also whilst the teachers will be giving agency to their students.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think for anybody that was interested in taking on this course, the advantages to them is that they have a comprehensive program, which is very clearly extremely practical, connects well with children and with parents, and is easy to use. So I think it's the kind of program that I wish had existed when I started out teaching martial arts. And it's very much designed by the things that we've experimented with and found to work. And obviously we've discarded other stuff that doesn't work so well. It's extremely well tailored to the needs of each particular demographic. So it's not children's self-protection and, you know, like, everything under 18. It's clearly broken down into what's age appropriate, because that, you know, for us, in the Meerkat age group, most children of that age are going to have an adult on hand. So that massively changes how that program works. Whereas for the rabbit age group, they are beginning to do more and more stuff, you know, on their own or, you know, with their peers. And then by the time they get to the bear level, then they are, you know, most of them are making their own way to school, or, you know, there's more and more distance from, you know, the safety, the arbitration that is a supervising adult. And then by the time they get to 18, or, you know, 16 to 18 year olds should have the capacity to be that supervising adult. So there's a real linear progression in what particular skills are being taught, and knowing what you can do on your own and when to ask for help is, you know, a key part of that as well.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time, certainly for us, and I hope for the greater self-protection and martial arts community, and anyone else who's interested in children's self-protection. So that's the Animal Instinct.
Morning going, oh my God, when is Animal Instincts coming out? When is it coming out? That's the entirety of the community, they just can't wait.
Absolutely. Well, they should be in anticipation for this. So details of that will be coming soon. Thanks for being on the show, Mary.
Cheers, Jamie.
My other books, Wrong Fu and Mordred's Victory and Other Martial Mutterings, are also available through Amazon as both ebooks and paperbacks, and I'm also selling signed copies. These works are collections of rewritten and re-edited essays I've produced over the last two decades. Wrong Fu is a prequel to my Bullshit Su and the Fight to Make Martial Arts Work project, which deals with critical thinking in the history of martial arts. Mordred's Victory and Other Martial Mutterings covers the 10 years I ran Club Chimera Martial Arts as a school. Nowadays, I teach private lessons, courses, and seminars. These are bespoke services that put you in charge of your martial arts journey. I teach self-protection and martial arts cross-training. You can train with me one-to-one or in a small group. I count individual clients, couple clients, parent and child clients, and various other combinations. These can be taught face-to-face or virtually.
I also regularly teach clubs, societies and associations nationally and internationally. Please go to clubchimera.com for details. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Owltail or whatever podcast platform you're currently using. If you could leave me a 5-star rating and a review, I would be really grateful. You can also follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter and at long last, TikTok. Facebook also has a members group in addition to the main business page, so please send in a request to join in with the training discussions and be a part of the wider CCMA community. I'm also uploading new content to YouTube. There are various short videos, vlogs and full video versions of some of these podcast episodes on there, as well as filming of my various lessons, so you get an idea of the different services that I provide. Please check out the services section on the YouTube channel to find out more details on these individual services and suggestions for where you might want to take your training with me. Again, please subscribe, like, share, and leave a comment. All favourable engagement on these platforms helps keep CCMA going. Now, I don't know where you listen to this show or watch or read any of the other free content I produce. My time to listen to podcasts usually occurs during dog walks or solo car journeys, or when I'm undertaking some mundane task or other around my home. I watch videos when I'm in the kitchen. My reading time occurs when I'm in a waiting room or during a rest period at home. My guess is a good number of you will think nothing of buying a coffee or some other beverage when you're commuting or waiting or on your break. If you believe that the work I produce is worth the price of a coffee, then please click on Support the Show in this episode's show notes. Whether or not you choose to do this, my thanks to everyone who joins me on this Vagabond Warriors journey, and I look forward to sharing more travel notes with you all on the next show.